you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel. It is day what?
Day 168. Oh, I wish we were doing this tomorrow. This would be day 169. It's Friday, July 7th, about 8:13 a.m., which means we're recording this in the midst of what will surely be next week's or next episode's big show.
Absolutely.
The G20 meeting of the first showdown between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
But a lot has happened in the 9 days since we last recorded this. This show is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. We are qualified to do this show because
we wrote a book. It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. It's available at presidentwrestler.com, donaldtrumpswrestler.com. It's on Amazon. It's an ebook. It's $9.99 for wrestling fans who get that reference.
It's also on Audible.
Oh, yeah.
We don't plug that enough.
Yeah. You can just listen to it. If you like listening to Brandon, you can listen to him for a couple hours, read our book to you.
Do you like audiobooks?
No.
See, I
don't even like podcasts.
Great. I love audiobooks that are nonfiction.
Okay.
It's really difficult for me to listen to fiction books. Sadly, this is nonfiction.
This is nonfiction. We are living the gimmick, brother.
Speaking of living the gimmick, Sunday was a big day for us.
Yes, and it actually led to us getting... we write books, we write articles, we do podcasts, we're available for parties and bar mitzvahs. Brandon, you were in the U.S. News and World Report writing about this.
Me and college recommendations.
That's basically what I turned to U.S. News for. And then at some point, hopefully by the time this goes up and we can put it in the show post, I will have a piece in Slate about what happened on Sunday.
So Chris and I spent, I don't know, literally a year. No, that's not true. And we spent 9 months on the book. And we get bigger reactions from everything we post. Like, for you, it's Slate. For me, it's U.S. News. You for Washington Post. Me for Roll Call. I'll get more people seeing that than the thing that we spent 9 months on.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I know.
It's like, here's 800 words to summarize what we wrote a few, like 100,000 words about. No. We're just going to stick with 800 words.
Let's just, the small bites. I need to pivot to video. Let's just get the basics. But yes, we have articles about this because on Sunday, as Trump had his best, I think it's had his most retweets, I believe.
Did he really do it? Was that the most retweeted?
I think it is. Yeah, oh I think he God. Broke the record with a tweet, with a GIF that I'm sure everyone who's listening to this has seen of Donald Trump clotheslining, not body slamming, clotheslining a man with a CNN logo for a head.
Okay, the two things about that. Number one, a few more plugs. Sorry. We are on. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, you could listen to all of the shows in the You, Me, Them, Everybody feed. If you're on the SoundCloud page, you could find that on the right. If you're listening to this on the You, Me, Them, Everybody feed, we have a SoundCloud page. You'll figure it out. And we're also on Facebook, and that's only important because you, Chris, cut together 3-minute Raws and 2-minute SmackDowns.
Yes.
Which is great if you have no context for everything in the wrestling world. That's all you need.
You need 5 minutes of your week. You can do what takes us 8.
So what Donald Trump did was essentially release a 20-minute WrestleMania 23 recap.
So 20 seconds.
20 seconds of 23rd. WrestleMania 23.
Yes, because it was WrestleMania 23. The scene, which wrestling fans know and more political people are figuring out, was from WrestleMania 23 in Detroit. It was the Battle of the Billionaires, wherein Donald Trump and Vince McMahon faced off using minorities as their surrogates to do their fighting for them. And at the end, Vince had his head shaved and Stone Cold was the referee. And at one point, things got physical on the outside. Donald Trump threw down one of the worst clotheslines of all time, took down the chairman, laid in some horrendous punches, just horrendous striking ability. Not the best pure striker in the game, Donald Trump. But in this GIF, Vince McMahon's head has been replaced with a kind of a CNN logo, the Fraud News Network, as it's commonly known in the U.S. And everyone lost their shit when the President of the United States tweeted that for some reason.
I know that you're laughing. I still don't understand why anybody lost their shit. It's like they weren't paying attention.
No. I mean, but we keep saying that, and people are going to keep... And that's kind of what my piece is about, and your piece was about how people are, once again, missing the point. It's a couple things like you wrote. It's a dog whistle to supporters of, like, this is my next feud. I'm literally feuding with CNN.
Yeah. But also, more importantly, It's not an actual fight. There's a difference. Yes. This is not boxing. This is not MMA.
And it's not an incitement of violence against CNN or its journalists. They have other things to worry about. Yes, he's incited people to violence at his rallies, which he continues to hold. When he's been in the context of a mass of people and incited violence, that's been inciting violence. When he's using fake sports to have a fake feud with fake news, that's fake.
So there's you don't even need to have a wrestling analog. This is literally from WrestleMania 23.
Yeah, no, and I mean my I'm sure your text blew up and your Twitter mentions and everyone going, oh wait, our friends wrote a book about this. It's also the first time, and this is the crux of my piece. It's the first time that Trump has broken kayfabe as a president. He's been using the heel tactics this whole time, and if you're familiar with wrestling, you recognize that. This is the first time he said, yeah, I'm using wrestling. I'm literally using wrestling in this tweet.
Hold on. Maybe we're wrong, and we've been wrong for 18 months, because what did Trump do after he watched Vince McMahon blow up?
He called Triple H.
To say, hey.
Hunter. That was a big Lee explosion. Is Vince okay?
So does he know?
That's 10 years ago.
I know. Yeah. Does he know it's... Seriously.
I don't know if he knows that WrestleMania was a work.
Yes, that's what I'm wondering.
Would not be surprised at this point. But yes, I feel like we do this and sometimes we're like, yeah, this is the real thing that'll get people talking about what we do. This was literally, I mean, for now, this is really the thing.
Oh yeah,
it's tough to top. It really, other than showing up at Mania or Summer or SummerSlam, like it's going to be tough for the big dog Donald Trump to beat this.
You know who hasn't mentioned this at all in any way?
The WWE, craven as they are now in one of the most retweeted tweets of all time. They even use the press of the fact that a kid said the N-word on their TV. They use that to be like, we're legitimate, and they won't use this because they can't.
I don't know if you did this, but about 24 hours after this was tweeted, I followed everyone that was part of WrestleMania 23 from a wrestler standpoint. Lawler's the only one that was like, hey, it's cool, I'm part of this. He's also the only one that was...
He's gotten flack for it.
And gotten death threats during the primaries. But everyone that actually wrestled, the only person that mentioned it was MVP.
Yeah.
And he was like, this guy sucks. That's the only one. Batista is incredibly political on Twitter. I had no idea. He hasn't mentioned this.
Yeah, because he has his mom is, I think Batista's mom is queer, and he's been very like vocal about like gay rights and stuff.
Sure, but you also got to remember, Batista's from a real city. Yeah. CM Punk's from
Washington,
a real city.
D.C.
Like, if you're from real cities, you're probably not that big of a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you never know. What this also did, this big tweet and this big show on Sunday, was just distracted and ended, basically, another feud that Trump was having, which everyone is freaked out. I was actually more surprised with the reaction of that. I thought the reaction of people freaking out about, like, Trump talking about, this is his tweets about Morning Joe co-hosts and lovers, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
Okay, please don't torture me. That is the word I hate the most in the English language.
That's gross, and especially gross when you're considering the Morning Joe host.
No, it doesn't matter who you're considering.
Okay.
It's just gross.
I don't like straight white people on TV. So he branded Joe Scarborough. He called him Psycho Joe, Crazy Joe, Samoa Joe. He did not call him Samoa Joe. He called Mika Brzezinski low IQ, Crazy Mika, and dumb as a rock Mika. Talked about her having a bad facelift where she was bleeding from the face and still went to a party, which I'm like, she likes to party. But people were the reaction to that was like, this is the line he's finally crossed. Until... obviously Sunday happened, until the next thing happens. But I thought that was the biggest reaction since maybe grabbing by the pussy.
That is fair. I'm trying to think about it. I think you're right.
I've been traveling last week or so, but I remember seeing stuff and people really freaking out.
I've been in DC the entire time.
There was an op-ed about them in response that he's lost it and blah, blah, blah. From the White House, and this is reporting done by the fake news Washington Post, some White House advisors said they were frustrated that the Brzezinski feud overtook the president's fight with CNN, which seemed in their eyes to have clearer villains and heroes. So they get it.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. I think that's actually why the FNN is there instead of like Wolf Blitzer or Anderson Cooper. If it's not an actual person, it's more forgivable.
Yeah, and it's easy. I mean, it's what WWE does. You got to make the brand bigger. It's what UFC does. Real Fix Sports. They make the brand bigger than any of the people. It's also, and this is something in my piece, is that CNN, if he was just picking on Mika and saying she's bleeding from the whatever, he's done that before. But they're not, they're also not really great opponents. They're just some like talk, some people inside the Beltway know them. They're not like these national figures. CNN is a national thing, and they're also not a, they're not a white meat babyface. They had three reporters resign over a bad Russia story that plays right into his narrative. They've also just sort of kind of blackmailed the Redditor that made this GIF that we're talking about. You didn't see this story?
CNN did this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So CNN kind of were like, we're not going to, we reached out to the guy, he apologized, we're not going to release his name. So it kind of looks like a quid pro quo blackmail thing. That's not what it is. It's just kind of slimy, or has the appearance of sliminess. So it plays into his narrative once again that they're fake, they're working the refs. And so it's a better feud. And people in the White House get that. And so, yeah, with the CNN stuff, that's clearly this was written, I think, before the GIF tweet. So it's, he got back on track with his feud, because we're going to SummerSlam. You got to get your feuds in line. We've got 4 weeks in the big build.
NPR Politics podcast brought up a good point that one of the reasons why the Morning Joe thing was even bigger is like, that's the thing that plays in the Senate gym. That's the thing that all lawmakers watch. That's the thing that crosses the aisle, that appeals to everyone. So that's important. These were also actual friends. And I don't know if you guys know this, but people on the right and the left get plastic surgery, and no one likes to have that shoved in their face. That being said, speaking of shoved in their face, Donald Trump had plastic surgery. Do you remember this story? This is the most disgusting story of his entire life. And his first wife, on the recommendation from his first wife, he had the plastic surgery, and he was not happy with what he had done. And that's when the sexual assault happened to his first wife. Yeah.
That's a
that's
gross.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
So whenever, when he brought that up, that's what I instantly went to. I don't think that's, most people think of that.
No, no, definitely not. And that's that, but that does follow the pattern of literally everything Donald Trump has ever said is a projection of something that can be said about him.
So, yeah, there's, this is not funny in any way. And sadly, way too many wrestling analogs. So let's move on.
Let's move on. So the, you know, a big show that's definitely going to fly under the radar is the resignation of Walter Schaub, the director of the Office of Government Ethics. There's a quote you passed to me that his departure is likely to spur anxiety among ethics officials and critics of the president, who viewed him as one of the few federal officials who had been willing to speak out when he viewed the administration departing from past ethics norms. Trump allies cast him as a grandstander and noted that he had been appointed by President Barack Hussein Obama.
That is true. These guys are appointed for 5 years, so they don't have to worry about their job, FBI directors. Suckers. Anyways, you didn't understand at first why this, to me, was a big deal. This was definitely buried because of the G20 going on right now and because of the protests in Germany. By the way, there's protests at every G summit, G20, G8. So it's not like, oh, it's Trump. No, they're literally everywhere. Remember the Battle of Seattle? Rage Against the Machine documented for all of us. Anyways, this is a huge deal because this is the guy from the Office of like Ethics being like, I can't do anything more ethically. And he's going to like join a group that encourages more ethical behavior, a bipartisan group. He was in the, he had the biggest microphone, the most power, and he's like, can't do anymore. This is Vince beating the FBI.
Yeah.
This is Trump beating the FBI for a minute. This is really not good if you thought anything, any divestment would happen.
Sure. The thing is with this, I think the reason that it didn't connect with me as much is that OGE, unfortunately, they have a big microphone. They don't have a big stick.
That's true. That's true.
So they were not, the enforcement, a lot of the stuff was they could kind of try to publicly shame him into doing stuff. They, he had, Schaub had had some success doing that, but it becomes clear that when you realize that, when they realized they didn't have to do it, he realized they were shameless. What, why is he wasting his time?
Fair enough.
So, but it is a, definitely it's not, you can't say it's not a victory for Trump to get someone who's going out there in your government and telling you to stop doing things. That guy's gone.
Senator Schumer's like, oh yeah, we're going to get a, we're going to vet the next guy. It's going to be great. We're going to hold you accountable. Yeah, but there's no one in that. There's a replacement person now for a handful of months.
Yeah.
Trump's just won.
Oh yeah, no.
Give
credit
where credit's
clearly,
due.
Yeah, clearly there's no, there's,
I
no
will
victory
never,
for Mr. Dunn.
It's clear. It's like also Ric Flair. It's like, I will always cheat. I don't care who the ref is. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I'm over. This isn't what we plan to talk about, but could we do a really quick healthcare update?
Sure.
Healthcare is working along very well. We could have a big surprise with a great healthcare package. So Now they're happy.
What do you mean by a big surprise, sir?
I think you're going to have a great, great surprise. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God! It's Braun Strowman! The monster among men is back!
They told us he'd be out 6 months.
You seem to have forgotten. I'm not finished with you!
Nothing. Nothing's happened. There was supposed to have something happen. Nothing happened. And then no one wanted to do a town hall, really, over the 4th of July weekend because of booze.
Yeah,
in other words, the healthcare bill, not over.
Booze with a Z or with an S?
Okay, we can move on.
Okay. The big show is Russia.
Well, it's a big show.
The other big show, the sleeping bear.
So rather than play the Big Show theme, I think I'll play the Rusev theme.
Yeah. Rusev Udria. As we said at the top of the show, G20 right now, Trump is having his first face-to-face meeting with Putin. So people will be talking about this. It's a big deal. You know, is it that consequential? Are they like is he going to congratulate him on rigging the election for him? No. I mean, there's not going to be anything. There's
not rigging. It's predetermined.
Yeah. It's not fake. It's a work. But Trump finally meets Putin. It's kind of like how Rusev's finally back on SmackDown Live, the A show. It's now the A plus show. Brandon is doing the yes hands. He's very excited. We watched this together.
You popped so you had
well.
Popped
I called it first because Cena's out there.
You
and
popped.
I called it.
You called the Hardys too. You popped just below your Hardy pop at Mania.
Yes,
you're having a good year.
I'm having a great year, except for all that other stuff. But Rusev, John Cena's in the ring talking about John Cena stuff. And I was like, Rusev's coming back right now. Some other people are saying other people are coming out. And I was like, no, it's Rusev. And when he did come out, I was excited.
Okay, so a lot of people aren't so thrilled because this is a feud that happened for a long time, a few years ago. I am very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are two of the best guys on mic. The only people better on mic are Kevin Owens and Enzo Amore. That's it.
Yes.
So I just want to see these guys represent values. That's all I want. So John Cena's clearly going to do the patriotic bullshit. And it's great. It's 4th of July. And it's not that different than Donald Trump speaking yesterday in Poland. And then Rusev comes out and he's the opposite. And it's a brilliant thing. And you remember like, oh yeah, the Russia versus America thing from the 80s still works.
Yeah.
This is never going to go away. Yes, it seems silly to play these tropes in 2017. Guess what's actually playing in reality in 2017?
Yeah. It's pretty great. It's also like Rusev's best storyline he ever had. He came out on a tank at WrestleMania. Let's never forget that. John Cena, this is right in his pocket. He can come back for the summer and have a couple of matches. What match they're going to have is at Battleground, the next SmackDown pay-per-view. They will have a flag match. I had to do some research to see, because when we did our WrestleMania recaps on the YMT podcast a couple years ago, which was the impetus for the book and all, what we're doing right now, we saw a couple flag matches at WrestleMania. So it was a thing in the 80s. The basic tenet of a flag match is there's two flags hanging or one flag hanging at the above one of the turnbuckles, and you have to climb the turnbuckle and get the flag. That's basically it, right?
It sounds incredibly easy.
Yes, it's just and then you get to wave the flag around is your victory, and it's in the 80s. Like we said, it was mostly again with the Kolovs and like your Russian bad guys against like Hogan or Duggan or somebody like
that. We'd like to point out, this is in the book, most all of those guys are not from those countries. They're mostly from Minnesota and Canada.
Yes. In the early 90s, this was a gimmick with Sergeant Slaughter when he was an Iraqi sympathizer. In 97 and in 2003, there's also been, that's basically after that, the flag match kind of goes out of favor and it's only popped up a couple times. Literally, I've got them like all four here. In a couple times, it was the Canadian flag. When you had Canadian heels, so Bret Hart with the Hart Foundation in the Attitude Era and La Resistance in 2003. In 2007, for some reason, Jim Duggan had a match against the Daivari 1, like the numeral 1, because there's a different Daivari in the company right now. This was the Daivari that was carried out like a suicide bomber.
We're going with like a greatest. Based on what you're telling me, this should be my favorite gimmick. This is so inappropriate.
Flag matches?
Yeah. And not satisfying in any way.
No, and that was in 2007. 2012, there was like a spin the wheel bullshit, and Ted DiBiase Jr. versus Hunico, who is now the guy with the mask that no one cares about. Sin Cara.
Okay.
No cares is what that means in Spanish. They had that for some reason, so it was a nice Mexican versus American in 2012. And in 2014, Rusev had a flag match at SummerSlam against Jack Swagger. He won. The Russian flag was raised from the ring up to the ground, and the Russian anthem played in 2014 at SummerSlam, 3 years ago.
In 2014, they would occasionally show Putin on the Titantron.
Yeah, and they would dedicate matches to Putin, and it was it was a lot of fun. And now Rusev's having flag matches with Cena, and that hasn't changed. Lana's getting squashed. That'll teach her to be happy. So yeah, it's a what's old is new again.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now then, forever flag matches.
Flag matches. But before we get to Battleground, it's Great Balls of Fire this Sunday.
Okay, we say this every time. We check the website every week. There is no official Great Balls of Fire merchandise. So we need all you Great Balls of Fire head people out there to get us some bootleg Great Balls of Fire merchandise. I want it from tips of my head to the tops of my toes. I'm really tired. It's really early in the morning.
Yeah, we don't have to. Take a look at the Great Balls of Fire logo and never say tips of anything ever again.
I want everything that they sell there that says Great Balls of Fire if you are going to this.
It's at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas this Sunday. Presented by Rocket League. It's Great Balls of Fire because Vince, according to the backstage guys, Vince just thought the phrase Great Balls of Fire, the song, which is 60 years old, came into his head, and he thought that was hilarious, and now it's happening. The big...
G-Boff.
At G-Boff 1, G-Boff 2017, because this is definitely going to be an annual tradition.
I hope so.
There's no way it's not.
Are you going to have a viewing party?
I'll be in New York, and
you're gonna
probably.
You're New York viewing party?
Yes, with friend of the show, Adam Jones, so we'll probably be... watching G-Boff.
If you see any street merch, some unlicensed street merch in New York,
that's definitely a thing.
Pick me up some G-Boff stuff.
Yeah, I'll go to Times Square and see what they got. So it's Brock versus Crazy Joe Samoa Joe. It should be a good match. And there's a non-zero chance that Joe wins. So it's very small. But there's some fuckery where they can do this match again at SummerSlam because they've had a really good feud. Samoa Joe is the Psycho Joe, not Joe Scarborough, because he's been choking people out, turning Brock Lesnar purple.
I just hope that Brock bleeds so someone shares the Crazy Joe and bloody Brock.
Yeah, a bad face lift is what he's going to get from a knee lift. The match I'm most excited for, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, in an I'm not finished with you yet ambulance match.
I call this the healthcare match.
The healthcare match. Yeah, no, this is all the gifs from this I would like. I'm excited for the internet to have fun with. Like, this is the future liberals want. Stuff like that. Like, I want to see memes on memes. I want to see Braun driving an ambulance, pushing over an ambulance.
So what if they just both drive in two separate ambulances and then just smash?
They crash and then, like,
that's
they
how
both
the match
explode and that ends. That's actually the end of the world. Not with a bang, but with two ambulances. So an ambulance match, for people who don't know, the winner of the match is the one who puts the other man in the ambulance, closes the door. That's important. It's like a casket match. You got to close that door or clearly it's not a victory.
You know, real sports.
Yeah, real sports. They've been having a lot of fun with this. Jumping off stages, tipping ambulances. The buildup to this has been months
long.
So
clearly Roman's going to win. Clearly clearly Braun's going to punch through the door or window as soon as the door is shut and really hurt Roman.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore continuing the feud.
This is the most rigged
ambulance
of all time. I think Braun has a better chance of beating Roman once again so they can keep this feud going because it's pretty great. I think they see the money here. Alexa... Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the women's title. Enzo and Cass.
If you're listening to this for the first time because of Glow, you will like Sasha Banks.
And Alexa Bliss.
Sure, but if you're watching SmackDown, Naomi is the person you will like.
Yes, and Naomi has a new glowing belt and shirts that say Feel the Glow, which is predates the show at least.
Yeah, there's been, I haven't been paying that much attention the last few weeks, but I don't think I've heard one mention of Glow.
No, I don't think so.
Which is also very weird. They never paint the WWF in the bad light in the television series. In the documentary, a little bit, but not that much.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they're not taking advantage of this.
They've got their women's thing taping next week.
The women's thing is the what?
The Mae Young Classic, which will be airing starting the week after SummerSlam. So late August into September. So that's the women's match. Enzo and Cass. Cass, they just having great promos. They're both doing great storyline here. I mean, I'm not happy that they broke them up, but they're actually doing...
Corey Graves is randomly a big part of this. More on him in a few minutes.
Yeah. This should be a good one to keep this feud going. When they break up a tag team, hopefully it's a meaningful thing. Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt, for some reason, I keep skipping those segments on 3 Minute Raw and in real life. The Miz and Dean having their 11th... 100th match for the IC title.
I don't care, but it's going to be good. It's going to be not that bad in ring.
Yeah.
And Miz is like the fifth the best guy on mic.
And the Miztourage will be there, which is they finally found something for Axel and Bo Dallas to do. Axel looks like
a dad, a very nice
Arn
dad.
Arn Anderson. Yeah, dad, an accountant. He's in a polo and he's got his hair combed. What's left of it is combed.
He's wearing khakis.
And Bo Dallas, as Dean Ambrose, once again, he said he looked like one man gang in a suit, which was great because he's wearing a suit. But he has a bandana and leather fingerless gloves and earrings. It's like, oh, I'm in an entourage now. I have to wear in my entourage outfit. But Bo Dallas gets it, and that should be fun. Yeah, that should be a fun one. Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardy Boys in an Iron Man. That actually is not 30 minutes. It's for the rest of their lives. They have to. It's the most pinfalls until they're dead. Hardy Boys. That the broken lawsuit.
It's almost over.
That's keeps going back and forth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then in the pre-show, Neville versus Titus Worldwide member Akira Tozawa for the title in a placeholder until Neville can have a good feud for SummerSlam. So that's G-Boff. That's Great Balls of Fire. I'll be watching some of this.
Do you think that there's going to be one day a Great Balls of Fire video game featuring all the classic Great Balls of Fire matches
years? You really think this is going to have a lot more life?
I want. So, occasionally, they make plaques in the WWE
shop. Oh,
yeah,
no, you can get the plaques. You should get the plaque of
Great
Braun winning the ambulance match at Great Balls of Fire.
For $70. Who's ordering these?
I'm checking right now. These savings are hot, and they've got stuff on fire, but no Great Balls of Fire merch.
Come on. Come on, guys.
I imagine they'll have something for you.
So, last week, we had the Progressive Liberal as a guest.
Yes.
This week we have Sam Adonis as a guest.
Very nice.
Sam Adonis is, no offense, Progressive Liberal, in a much better place. He's not dead. He's doing.
We interviewed him right before he died.
He's doing really, really well. He is the hottest heel in CMLL. I went to CMLL earlier this year. It is the most fun I've ever had at a wrestling event. It's Mexico's WWE. Mm-hmm. He is the hottest guy right now. He was kind enough to talk to us between taping scenes for a telenovela. Seriously.
So he's doing really well.
Follow him on Instagram. He's about to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. He's traveling everywhere. He's occasionally in the States, so if you get to see him, it's Sam Adonis. All the information is in the description. So if you are bored tonight and you don't want to rewatch 3 Minute Raw or 2 Minute SmackDown or every Miz and Dean Ambrose feud, you could watch CMLL live via YouTube, so you could see Sam Adonis actually feud and fight. Get over it. Learn Spanish. He learned Spanish. That's
you
part of the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And even if you don't want to watch it live, you could find most every CMLL match online.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, the way to get people into wrestling is CMLL. Take them to Arena Mexico. Let them see this stuff. It is wonderful. So, yeah, this is our interview with the biggest Trump supporter in wrestling and the biggest heel in wrestling right now, Sam Adonis.
My biggest disappointment this year is I go to CMLL, I find out about you, and I miss you by 2 days.
Oh, man. That's a shame. That's just another reason for you to have to come back.
Yeah, it seems that you're getting more and more dates down there. It seems like it's pretty much every show now.
Well, I'm on, I would say, probably... 3 out of 5 shows now. I'm getting pretty busy. But I get a lot of work outside the country. So that's usually, if I'm not on something on the weekend, usually it's because I'm in the United States or you know, Puerto Rico or something.
How drastically do you alter the gimmick when you're in Puerto Rico versus Mexico versus the States?
The thing is, it's really it's really kind of subjective. It's not really a Donald Trump character. People kind of really get that confused. They think I'm ripping off Donald Trump and trying to be like Donald Trump. And it's not. I'm just a heel. I'm just a bad guy. I'm just a bully. I just find the most sensitive topic and kind of shove it in your face. If wrestling fans didn't like pizza, I would come out to the ring throwing pizza at people. You know, if they don't like, you know, the Yankees, I would have a Yankees T-shirt on. So it's not necessarily that I'm supporting Donald Trump and showing off for Donald Trump. It's just that I'm such a bully and a bad heel that I do whatever it takes to line people up.
Absolutely, and that's clear if you watch any of the CMLL stuff and if you watch any of these stuff online. But I'm wondering if you're in a very red county in, say, Florida, will you be a heel?
I've had mixed reactions because usually, you know, even red counties, you know, people are so hot and cold about everything. It's, you know, pretty much right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been in any situation in the United States where I haven't had both, you know, both sides of the argument, supporting or not supporting. I actually wrestled in Detroit, and I would say it was probably more hostile than some of my Mexican events because it was, you know, so blue. The people were so angry, and it was a very hipster audience with a lot of, you know, alcohol involved. And it felt like that, you know, this particular night, the people were more hostile than they are here in Mexico.
Are you enjoying what you're doing right now? Like 2 years ago.
I absolutely love it.
Okay.
I'm a student of the game. My father was a promoter. My brother's Corey Graves from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up around wrestling, and anybody that knows me knows that I was, you know, a little encyclopedia. When I was about 10 years old, I studied everything about wrestling from all over the world, whether it's Japan or Mexico or the USA, the 70s, the 60s, the 30s. I just eat it up. And for me, you know, it's really incredible to wrestle in Arena Mexico on a regular basis. And I was talking to a friend of mine this afternoon, and I realized right now I'm in two major feuds. One being with Blue Panther and the other one being with Ultimo Dragon. You know, and just even being able to be in the ring with these guys is an honor and a privilege for me. And let alone, you know, right now we're in an actual feud where, you know, we're selling tickets, we're doing business worldwide. You know, I go to Japan in August where I'll be fighting Ultimo Dragon, you know, because that's, you know, that's what I'm doing. And for me, it's like living a dream every single day.
Why do you think that there is not a place like Arena Mexico in California or Pittsburgh where you're from or Chicago? It's just this wonderful mecca that you kind of need to see to understand.
The main thing is it's such a major part of the city. Lucha Libre is more part of culture than it is. The people are so involved. It's something that the whole family has been involved with forever. I think that American wrestling fans are a bit spoiled, a bit cocky. They're very, entitled. They're too arrogant for their own good. They don't appreciate professional wrestling for what it is. They feel like professional wrestling owes them something because they tune in every week. When the truth is, we don't, you know, the fans, that they're a great part of the show, but, you know, the true respectful fans come and they play along and they want to be, you know, suspend disbelief. They want to enjoy the show as opposed to making the show about them. That's why I don't believe it would thrive in the United States. You know, I've learned a lot about pro wrestling from all over the world, and I've learned that, you know, I in particular don't like wrestling in front of American wrestling fans because they are self-entitled. I've learned a lot about wrestling from all over the world due to the fact that the majority of my career has been out the United States. And I would say wrestling in the United States is probably my least favorite place to wrestle. Most of the fans here are super entitled. They feel that because, you know, they tune in every week that, you know, that it's our job to really, you know, make them happy. And you know, and in a sense it is, you know, that's what we're here for. But at the same time, American wrestling fans are very spoiled and they don't appreciate, you know, how much we give them. Here in Mexico, they're a lot more respectful at any given time. They really appreciate what we do as opposed to trying to make the event about themselves like the American fans are used to doing.
You clearly don't wear a mask. People know what you look like. Are you recognized on the street on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, of course. But I'm 6'4", you know, I'm a big white dude walking around in Mexico City. I have bleached blonde hair, so you know, on a daily basis, whether I go to the mall or to the supermarket, you know, people know who I am. You know, I'm constantly signing autographs for kids. But at the same time, most people generally tend to appreciate, you know, that I am here, that I'm giving back to the Mexican people. I respect the culture. You know, my persona is what it is. But the fact that I've been able to learn Spanish and give back to Mexico generally people are pretty excited to support me.
So in the ring, in the arena, you're clearly a heel. People hate you. Outside of the ring, you're beloved, not beloved, but you're appreciated for who you are and what you do.
I am absolutely 100% the hottest heel in Mexico right now. As far as reaction goes, there's nobody even close to me. However, like I said, the wrestling fans in Mexico have a bit more respect for what Lucha Libre is. They appreciate it as a sport. They appreciate, you know, looking after, they appreciate what we give to them on a daily basis. So, yes, you know, I'm hated, but any chance that the kids get or the parents get to get a picture, an autograph, and basically say thank you for what we give to them, you know, they really embrace that opportunity.
Have you, I know you're going to wrestle Ultimo Dragon in Japan. Have you wrestled Ultimo Dragon in Japan thus far?
I have never wrestled Ultimo Dragon in Japan, but I've wrestled him multiple occasions here in Mexico.
Sure.
It's funny for me because I was such a big fan of him as a child. When he first came to WCW, it kind of blew my mind. And, you know, now to be able to work with him, you know, on a fairly consistent basis, and, you know, I'm in the main event of his 30-year anniversary event in Japan at Korakuen Hall. To think, you know, that this legend thinks enough of me and my work to put me in the same category, you know, as some of the other guys that would be in that position, you know, it's truly an honor for me. And it makes me feel very confident that what I do and what I've accomplished.
You're very hot right now. Where do you want to go?
I am happy right now just riding the waves out and see where it takes me.
Okay.
My entire career, all I've ever really wanted, more than anything, I've wanted to wrestle in Japan. So the fact that I get this opportunity now is really, you know, a major tick, you know, on my to-do list. I would like to return to the WWE and really, you know, put the work in. And, you know, I would kind of like to change the perspective of pro wrestling in the United States again. I miss the days where the fans did respect wrestling, you know, and they liked these larger-than-life characters. Nowadays, the fans go to the events, you know, to make the event about themselves, not to support the wrestler and, you know, support pro wrestling. So I would like to be a major reason, you know, to bring wrestling back to the forefront. And I think, you know, I have the credentials to maybe, you know, be in a prominent position if I do have that opportunity to return.
You're very young. You're very hot. You're definitely on the exact same path of a guy like Jericho. I don't know how that won't happen unless you choose to not make that happen.
The funny thing about wrestling is it's never really in your control. It's in the powers that be's control. I've had a really, really fun, successful run thus far. My brother is the commentator on Raw.
Sure.
And I have a lot of the really, you know, high-up, good connections with the WWE. I've been able to live my dream and travel the world and do what I want. And, you know, for me, it's all about now just trying to cover all my bases for if I do get that opportunity, you know, I'm able to deliver. I'm able to, you know, be in that prominent position. I wouldn't want to return back to the WWE as a, you know, an opener or a mid-carder. You know, I'm happy doing what I do, and I would like to think that I have the credentials and experience to maybe, you know, come back and be in a very good position.
But
so,
could you?
It's not that I don't want to. It's just that it would be, you know, it's not really up to me.
Sure.
I kind of just have to keep doing what I do and hope that the opportunity presents itself.
Is the biggest problem with any of that happening your actual persona? You can't be Sam Adonis in the WWE. You can't be the Trump supporter in the WWE.
I don't need to be the Trump supporter.
Okay.
Like I said, the Trump supporter has nothing to do with who Sam Adonis is.
Okay.
It's just it's what I needed to do at the time to get, you know, get more hatred from the audience. You know, my boss, Paco Alonso, said, "Hey, you're my American heel. Do what you can to make these people hate you."
Sure.
You know, and then one thing happened and it kind of took off. It worked. But if it were to stop tomorrow, I'm still talented enough as a professional wrestler from my 9 years of experience to get the same reaction. And, you know, and still be the one of the hottest heels wherever I work.
Absolutely. Are you following along with U.S. politics in any way?
I see what I can. I think it's not fair because most of what people see of American politics isn't really what needs to be seen.
Okay.
There's so much propaganda. There's so much, you know, Facebook politicking going on. People, if you want to support someone, you can read the articles that support that person. And if you want to hate them, you can read the articles that don't support that person. It's really just, I think your average person is just misinformed on all topics. You know, people tend to make up their opinion, and now that there's social media and it's easier to follow, I think opinions are a bit more misled than ever before.
Would you ever comment on Mexican politics while you're with CMLL?
Of course, I would definitely. Okay. I would definitely, you know, do what is necessary. And I've actually been told that, you know, the Mexican people hate their president more than they hate our president. So, you know, if the opportunity were to present itself, sure, you know, I would take it to the next level. But, you know, what I like, and anybody that sees me and knows me, anybody that sees what I do, will tell you that Sam Adonis does not need this.
Sure.
Does not need to you know, piggyback anybody.
Sure.
I'm a classic 80s heel, and you know, what I do gets attention and gets reaction. I'm just, you know, I'm ballsy enough to do the things that most people wouldn't do.
Speaking of classic 80s heels, who were some of the guys that made you want to do what you do?
There's just too many to list. I've been basically an encyclopedia of wrestling since I was a kid. I just studied so much. I was really into Japanese wrestling. But as far as the heels go, absolutely loved Rick Rude, you know, Mr. Perfect, Ric Flair. There's so many to name, but, you know, I don't really like to copy.
Sure.
I think, you know, a good wrestler kind of develops into himself. And, you know, the Sam Adonis you see in the ring isn't too far off from Sam Adonis the person. You know, that's after 9 years living all over the world, you know, whether it's partying with girls in Europe or, you know, down here in Mexico and getting in a street fight outside of a bar, you know, it's not too far off the character you see in the ring. It's not like something, you know, I have to practice hard to put on. Sam Adonis has kind of developed into this person instead of me trying to play a role.
You've mentioned something that I've always wondered about. I am not a wrestler. I don't pretend to be a wrestler. I have no desire to be a wrestler. What you guys do is way too difficult. I would never, ever challenge a wrestler in a bar. Have you actually been challenged to a fight once people find out you're a wrestler?
Multiple occasions. Generally, I don't want to get in a fight. Usually, I've been in multiple positions where if the drunk guy at the bar says, "Oh, you're a wrestler, I can take you down." 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say, "Yeah, you're right, buddy. I'm just a big softy. You do what you got to do to feel good about yourself." Because, you know, whether I'm here in Mexico or if I'm living in the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. usually I'm on a work visa, you know, and if I'm going to get arrested, that could put, you know, have some serious repercussions on my position as a pro wrestler. So for me, it doesn't really matter the opinion of one drunk guy in a bar.
Sure.
If he wants to think he's tougher than me, I'll let him think he's tougher than me. But, you know, I know that I can leave that same bar with his girlfriend if I want. So I don't really get too worked up about it.
I know you're literally using your girlfriend's phone. Maybe you shouldn't talk so openly about your potential conquests.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend now wouldn't be listening to this in English. So
Fair enough.
I don't think I have anything to worry about.
So your Spanish is fluent enough to have a relationship with a woman who does not speak English.
Exactly. I learned Spanish pretty much with her. We were together for about 2 months when I really, you know, started learning, but now, you know, I'm fluent. I'm 100% proficient in Spanish.
It's so great to see.
I live a daily life here.
Yeah, you're doing the promos for CMLL in Spanish.
Well, that's what's nice is, you know, outside of wrestling, it's, you know, the beautiful thing about all this is I just want to learn a language.
It's amazing.
You know, and if my career were to dry up tomorrow, I'd be able to say, you know, I could take something away from my experience here in Mexico. And at the same time, you know, I like to think that's another asset that I have that most pro wrestlers don't have today, being bilingual, being able to cut promos in two languages, being able to open up to the Spanish market. So, you know, like you said, you know, I'm very confident there is a pretty bright future for me. It's all about just, you know, when and where.
Let's close with a somewhat serious question that is somewhat related to you, not exactly. Trump's big thing about Mexicans is not good. And there's still talk of a border wall, and there's prototypes being made of the border wall. You literally work in Mexico. You travel to and from Mexico quite a bit. How would a border wall possibly affect business?
I don't think it would hurt business at all.
Okay.
I don't think it would help business at all. I think the problem is, you know, illegal immigration. And that's not just here in the United States. That's, you know, worldwide. People have to protect their borders. My girlfriend has come with me multiple times to the United States because she has her paperwork.
Uh-huh.
You know, if people do it right and buy the book, there's no problems on the other side. The problem is, you know, people taking, you know, backseated opportunities that, you know, could be potentially dangerous for, you know, multiple people. That's, you know, what people are trying to get under control. So
sure.
I don't think it would affect me in any way. I have my American passport. I have my work visa in Mexico. I think, you know, as long as the people are playing by the rules, it shouldn't really have any negative repercussions on anybody.
Do you have any plugs that you want to add? Is there anything that's coming up that you're super excited about? Could people in America watch the Japanese show?
I don't know if we have a live stream, but luckily most events, you know, Japanese or Mexican, you know, are usually on YouTube within a few days.
Oh, yeah.
If people could follow me, I'm the my Twitter handle is Real Sam Adonis. I'm always putting up my matches, my promos, my Instagram. Everything that you need could be found on Real Sam Adonis on Twitter. People can follow me. People can find my matches. And it's basically just the best way to keep tabs on me. And I don't even know what's next. I just filmed a documentary for Netflix with Academy Award winning producer Fisher Stevens. It's a documentary about Donald Trump on Netflix I'll be featured on. Right now I'm actually at I'm filming a TV series in Mexico City that I'm getting ready to shoot here in about 10 minutes. So, I mean, the sky is the limit. There's so much things going on. I'm really happy everybody's been, you know, behind my back and supported me for this. So, I mean, follow Real Sam Adonis on Twitter, and hopefully I can see a lot more people stateside here in the near future.